This episode of Podcast by AutoApp is brought to you by Continental Automotive Singapore. Many of you might have heard about Continental from its tires, which are great. However, did you know that Continental is also one of the world's leading automotive technology companies? That's right. Many cars on the road today have some form of Continental technology, from sensors to displays, computers and braking systems that ensure a safe, convenient and efficient ride. They're also heavily invested in autonomous and smart mobility systems for the vehicles of today and the future. All this technology, of course, requires lots of talented people to work at Continental. The Singapore facility is one of Continental's largest R&D centers in Asia. This makes it a dynamic place to connect with like-minded individuals such as yourself. The future of automotive tech is very much at Continental, and if you're looking to be a part of it, Continental Automotive Singapore is where you want to start. Continental just signed MOUs with various partners to spur innovation in smart mobility. R&D is a big thing for Continental. And today I'm here with Mr. Jürgen Heim, who is a Senior Vice President for Automotive at R&D Locations Management. Did I get that right?
Jürgen. Jürgen is correction.
Jürgen, that's correct. Heim. Okay, good. Cool, thanks. You explain more about the company's strategy and vision for research and innovation. But before we start, I need to ask Jürgen, how far back does your interest in the automotive sector go back? How did you come to start to work in Continental, basically?
The interest in the automotive sector, I would think, goes even back to when I wanted to have my first car.
Okay.
So really being a young guy in Germany, you're allowed to drive by the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And already before that, me and my brothers, we had some ideas to drive cars, not on public street, but we also had the possibility to drive on the private ground. And that was actually when we got infected. In my generation, it was quite normal to have
bitten by the bug, they said.
Exactly, yeah. Bitten by the bug to have a car at a certain age and to start driving. Also, I was not living in a big city, more on the rural side. And then you are also dependent on having a car. So it's reaching back really far.
Did you remember your first car?
It was a Volkswagen Scirocco.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, and since then, was there sort of this interest in cars that led you to the job you're in today?
I would think at the end, yes, because there must be a logic why I ended up since more than 20 years in the automotive industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, my brothers, myself, we were really doing the mechanics on our cars.
Okay.
I was even with my brothers, we were repainting cars, doing
nice.
Stuff like that. So,
also
doing some tuning from time to time.
Ooh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And for me, looking back to that and being asked the question from your side, Sheldon, I would think that's a kind of logic why I ended up in this industry. Yeah. I was before
right.
I went into automotive, I was actually in aerospace for some years.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, interesting. So coming back to what you do at Continental today, can you describe in your words, what exactly your role is in the company today?
Yes.
And what you do?
Yeah. So I'm part of the CTO organization. We call that Holistic Engineering and Technologies. It's led by our CTO of Continental Automotive. And in this organization, I first start maybe giving the bigger picture of what this organization is about. It's an overarching R&D setup in automotive. To drive forward the important topics in course of the transformation which is ongoing in our industry. And in that context, we focus a lot on standardization, unification of processes, also electric architecture to set the path here, to set the speed on how electronic architecture is developing in the automotive industry. And like I said, software is becoming a center element of competence where you need to be super capable as an automotive supplier nowadays, and that is where this organization is focusing quite a bit. And my share in that is I'm responsible for the biggest R&D locations in automotive, Singapore being one of them. So in total, we are talking 7 big R&D centers around the world.
Seven.
Okay. 3 of them in Romania, Singapore. Mm-hmm. We have also a big R&D center in India, in Bangalore, and also 2 more in Mexico locations, in 2 Mexican cities.
I see. And why is there like 3 locations in one place in Romania, for example?
Yeah, that is a little bit of a historical reason, because when looking outside Germany many years ago, where to extend also in other places of the world and where to also tap into the talent potential of other countries, then Eastern Europe was first in the focus.
Okay.
And by that, Romania. And so for quite some time, the Romania locations have been the ones where also our business areas found the talent that they needed. They still are growing locations, so we are still also expanding there. But we also, with more of internationalization of our business, we saw that also other locations we need to really drive forward in developing and growing. And you may have learned today that Singapore, for example, is also reaching back already 35 years that Continental is here.
Sure.
And having reached now a size of 1,400 people, it also gives you a flavor that the magnitude is quite substantial of how we are increasing here the workforce all over the world. Mm-hmm. And my role is to drive with these 7 big R&D centers important topics, common agenda, topics like agile transformation, developing the competencies accordingly, looking that we tap into the talent markets in the right way, that we find the right people, that we are staying an attractive employer on a competitive job market.
Okay.
And all that needs to be organized in the global context. And like I said, with these 7 centers being in the focus of our activities.
Right. Attracting talent, I think, especially in the tech sector, must be a very competitive field. It must be hard to find good talent.
It is not an easy job. Yeah. It requires that you fulfill several parameters. And also, let me say, in the last years, a little bit the situation evolved in terms of what are these parameters. For example, today, after Corona crisis, many people are looking for more flexibility in how jobs are structured and offered. So the whole topic of hybrid work, partly in office, but also at other places. This, in the meantime, something which as a company, you need to be able to offer a high flexibility to be attractive. It's a topic which was not so prominent some 2-3 years ago.
Sure.
But nowadays it's a pure must.
So how relevant do you see these R&D centers still being located in one place, where we're now in an age where you could pretty much work anywhere in the world? Is it still important to have these R&D centers, or are we going to sort of see a diversification of locations?
I think it's still important to have locations offered to our people. We made the experience that offering high flexibility is the one thing where people really demand for it. But we also have already the observation that also there's an interest that our employees, our people, to from time to time come back and enjoy also the community of a location, and to also enjoy the work environment and to be with other colleagues and to also chit chat and to have the social exchange. So we are of conviction, or we think that the mixture is the right thing. You need to, on the one side, be flexible as a company to offer hybrid work models.
Sure.
It's also for sure a topic that employees might have at different times, different demands. Sometimes in your private life, you look for a higher flexibility, then the company needs to be able to go with that demand.
Sure.
And sometimes you are more interested on really being on a kind of regular basis back to the office and meeting your colleagues and friends.
Nice. Okay, cool. So, being someone in your department, especially, I guess you have a good, you know what's coming down the line in terms of trends and features of the automotive long before we do as consumers, certainly before the media does and all that. So, what can you tell me that we can look forward to in the next, 3 to 5 years? What's a big change or any big developments we can look forward to in cars?
Big developments. Let me make some examples also to connect to what was today part of our MOU signing event, which we had here on the location in Singapore. I think something which really we can see coming into the cars is more of displays. Pillar to pillar is for us a important topic. Pillar to pillar solutions to offer displays in front of the driver, also in front of the passenger.
When you say pillar to pillar, are you literally talking about pillar, or is it?
We are really talking about the complete front, so to say, of the car from one pillar, from one A pillar to the other one, to stretch out as a display zone.
Okay, for the car. Okay,
for the car, where you then have your, where you have today your classical instrumentation, like your instrument cluster, and you also have some displays already today in the vehicles. But this will be more of that in terms of offering to the driver, but also to the passenger, the right content at the right time. We also combine that with technology that, for example, you have also a certain privacy mode on the passenger side. Yeah. You can switch content to be seen by the passenger, not distracting the driver, because the passenger wants to see a video, but should not distract the driver.
I saw this demonstration. So now these infotainment screens, they're getting wider and wider.
Exactly, yeah.
And eventually we'll see them stretch across the whole width of the car.
Yeah.
But then now the front, so that means now the front passenger has some screen real estate and they're able to pull up content that's that the driver can't see or isn't relevant to his function. Doesn't compromise his safety and stuff like
that's the good point, exactly. And that is where Continental always says, we say we have a holistic approach to that, of providing content via displays to drivers and passengers, because we need to have the safety aspect also very much with us, to not overload the driver, especially with information, to give him the needed information at the right time, but not too much of information, which is then falling into the area of creating distraction.
That's part of what they call a shy-tech, right?
Yeah, shy-tech is also part of that. That's a good word that you mentioned it. Shy-tech is something which I think we will also see in a few years to come. That's a very nice technology, because actually it gives you in the front of the cockpit basically the feeling there is nothing, there are no instruments. Only when you approach it with your hand and you know that certain function you want to activate, then this appears as an HMI, as a human machine interface.
Okay.
So also here it gives you new possibilities to structure the interior of your car.
Okay. More and more manufacturers, I mean, now already touch screens are everywhere in the car. And to the point where even if I want to adjust my air conditioning and all that, I have to sometimes enter sub-menus and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of my colleagues in the media, and I've read other reports as well, that they find it quite, it doesn't really work as well when you're driving a car, because we're used to buttons and knobs and things like that, such that we're so used to it that without taking our eyes off the road, you can reach for this knob and button and feel it. But now, when everything is a touchscreen, there's more dependence on your vision. You have to look at it to see what you're touching, and there's no feedback of what you're doing. And some in some cars, this isn't very well executed. Right? So, do you think this can be improved, or this is going to change that to take away from moving towards touch screens, or have they figured out ways to improve that?
I think you mentioned two important words, feedback also, when you just asked the question, and that is how I want to also answer that a little bit. I think it will not move away from touch screens. Therefore, the drive from the consumer electronics is too intensive, because everybody is today operating his smartphone, his tablet by touchscreen. Also, I just thought about it. Also, in burger restaurants, for example, you partly need to order in the meantime on touchscreens.
Yeah?
So it is part of our life to touch and to swipe and to really live in that reality. And that is where we also say there is a strong consumer demand for also having that experience in the vehicle. But we want to enrich that, especially on the feedback side, because that is an important point. We have technology which is providing you the haptic feedback of a touchscreen. And there, I think, is the intelligent combination. On the one side, being able to swipe, to click on the touch screen, but at the same time providing some haptic feedback that, yes, you're also possible to operate these devices, these displays, with not always having to look 100% in that direction, because you can support that with haptic feedback generated below the display.
Mm. Okay. I guess also maybe AI voice recognition can be improved, although it never seems to work when I speak to the car. I know that you know, you can ask the car to now, I'm feeling hot, and then it turns on the air conditioning, or I'm tired even, and turns on the massage seat. So take me to this location. Right? Yeah. But I can tell you, so far, I'm always misunderstood. And I'll ask for directions to one street, and then they'll tell me, do you want me to play something? It's still, to me, it's still a long way away from what it is.
I have a little bit more positive experience. I have it in my vehicle today, in my car. Actually, it works quite well for navigation, for some base function also to operate in the car, like the air conditioning you mentioned. It works quite well, but I think it still has the possibility to even work better in the future by a word you used by AI. So really seeing that in the connected vehicle forward, having now connectivity going towards 5G also for the car connectivity. And by that, having then also the possibility to be continuously connected to the cloud and using also off site, outside of the car, computing power to further optimize topics like speech recognition. There's a huge potential in that. So I'm still a fan of it, the combination of these offerings. Are they in all in all examples of today's life, speech recognition, are they already operating perfect and 100%? Maybe not, but there is, with connectivity, with linking the car more to the cloud, with AI in that combination, there's quite some opportunities in front of us. Operated automatically, that is a topic which is, for me, highly interesting from the technology challenges. The whole industry is heavily investing into that area. Combined to that and linked to that is the whole topic of connectivity. And here I'm, from my personal background in the company, I'm more coming from that side. I'm not so much coming from the chassis side and from ADAS side. I'm coming more from the interior side, connectivity side. And with 5G connectivity in front of us, we have very good potential to connect the car continuously and are always on with the car in the Internet of Things. And for future smart mobility solutions, to really interact on a vehicle to X environment, from car to the traffic infrastructure, from car to other vehicles, from car to pedestrians, etc. From a technological aspect, what that could mean with the 5G technology as a major enabler, that is really fascinating in front of us. And linked to that, I'm also fascinated from the topic of keeping the car up to date, over the air, updatability, and providing then over lifetime of a vehicle even more functions to the car, opening also up new business models to our customers, the car makers, but also to suppliers like Continental. So these are the topics which are for me quite fascinating from what they also mean as a technological opportunity in front of us.
Give me an example of a new business model that this technology can open up. Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, today you see it already partly done by, for example, Tesla.
Okay.
When they offer you certain packages where you can extend the performance of your car. I'm now not in the details of that because I'm not driving that vehicle today, but they are offering you for a certain amount to give you more horsepower or to give you a certain additional possibility on what they call their piloting software for autonomous driving.
Right.
So they are already quite active in that field, and you can think of that to be extended on functionality, over the air updated, maybe in the multimedia environment of your vehicle, maybe in the display section, maybe linked to content which is offered in the car on the displays, which we talked about before.
Sure.
So here you can see quite a few ideas in front of us, and where the whole industry is therefore so much also driving for this transformation of architecture and having more powerful computing devices, which you need to enable the software-defined vehicle. And you need to have to realize over-the-air updates. It has an influence on the complete car architecture. And that is where this industry is currently working heavily on. And Continental is, especially with topics like this high-performance computing, we are already driving a lot of these topics concretely into production for our customers, and we have already for one of our European customers this already in the series application, the high performance computing device. Yeah.
I understand you spend a lot of time working with OEMs. You spent some time in Asia previously, mm-hmm. right? You told me you spent like 6 years in China.
Correct.
And in that time also, you worked with OEMs in China, Korea, India,
yes,
for example, right? Is there a difference in the approach to vehicle development or and maybe the priorities or from compared to the way the European car makers, let's say, develop their cars?
A real difference. Let me start different. I would first say they, in principle, have many, many commonalities in that context that they want to be served by suppliers like us in a reliable way, that we deliver reliably high quality products. That's for sure what they want, all independent of region, country. And also they all want to have suppliers being partners for them for talking about possibilities in innovations based on new technologies. And that is also where we are always looking for having these dialogues on a regular basis with our customers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to structure this transformation, which we see in the industry, new architectures, new functionalities, connectivity, automated driving, etc. This all is perfect playground to talk about innovative solutions together and in a collaborative mode. So that's how I would start. That is actually what we do together with all our customers in the world. My experience in China, especially if I may highlight one topic, is that in the Chinese environment, and I had several Chinese customers in my portfolio, in my responsibility, we driven also from the Chinese, let's say, consumer markets, they tend to look for, coming again to the display example, they look for bigger displays, they look for a lot of content. Mm-hmm. If you just look to a Chinese smartphone, you will also see it differs totally what content-wise is offered there on versus a European smartphone. Because it's just another culture of how to approach the topic of content on a display. And that is something which gave then also obviously some push for talking early about what's possible and the size of displays. And demanding such solutions fast in China to fit to the consumer requirements. Yeah, that is an observation I can say, that they have been here quite pushy on such solutions.
Okay. They want and everything also fast.
They want to be fast. They have a certain tendency to want to introduce new functions a little faster than maybe in the Western context, in the traditional context of our industry. But all overall, it comes back to this transformation is relevant for the complete industry. Also, we as suppliers, also other car makers, we are all trying to cope with the new speed, which is needed, successfully structure the future. And the speed is increasing, but that is good. It's offering more possibilities. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Okay, Jürgen Heim, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. Hope you have a good rest of the trip in Singapore.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
And thanks for giving me the chance. And all the best to your listeners. And
pleasure.
Pleasure for me. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.